ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेष्व भद्रेषु।
कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 29 टॉक्स बिटवीन नारदा एंड किंग प्रचिवनी भरी टेक्स्ट 60।
मन एवा मनुष्यस्य पूर्वरूपाणि शंसति भविष्यतश्च भद्रं ते तथैव न भविष्यतः।
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: O good King, all good fortune to you. The mind is the cause of the living entities attaining a certain type of body in accordance with his association with material nature. According to one's mental composition, one can understand what the living entity was in his past life, as well as what kind of body he will have in the future. Thus, the mind indicates the past and future bodies. Purport: the mind is the index of information about one's past and future life. If a man is a devotee of the Lord, he cultivated devotional service in his previous life. Similarly, if one's mind is criminal, he was criminal in his last life. In the same way, according to the mind, we can understand what will happen in a future life. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Urdvam gacchanti sattvastha madhye tishtanti rajasaha jaganya gunavittistha ado gacchanti tamasa. Those situated in the mode of goodness gradually go upwards to the higher planets. Those in the mode of passion live on the earthly planets. And those in the mode of ignorance go down to the hellish worlds. If a person is in the mode of goodness, his mental activities will promote him to higher planetary systems. Similarly, if he has a low mentality, his future life will be most abominable. The lives of the living entity in both the past and the future are indicated by the mental condition. Narad Muni is herein offering the king blessings of all good fortune, so that the king will not desire anything or make plans for sense gratification. The king was engaged in fruitive ritualistic ceremonies because he hoped to get a better life in the future. Narad Muni desired him to give up all mental concoctions. As explained before, all bodies in heavenly planets and hellish planets arise from mental concoctions, and the sufferings and enjoyments of material life are simply on the mental platform. They take place on the chariot of the mind, Mano Ratha. It is therefore said, Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana sarveir guner tatra samasate suraha harava bhaktasya kuto mahat guna manorathena satidavato bahi. One who has unflinching devotion to the personality of Godhead has all good qualities of the demigods. But one who is not a devotee of the Lord has only material qualifications that are of little value. This is because he is hovering on the mental plane and is certainly to be attracted by the glaring material energy. Bhagavatam 5:18-12. Unless one becomes a devotee of the Lord or becomes fully Krishna conscious, he will certainly hover on the mental platform and be promoted and degraded in different types of bodies. All qualities that are considered good according to the material estimation actually have no value, because these so-called good qualities will not save a person from the cycle of birth and death. The conclusion is that one should be without material desire, without mental desire. Anya bilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. One should be fully free from material desires, philosophical speculation and fruitive activity. The best course for a human being is to be favorably accept the transcendental devotional service of the Lord. That is the highest perfection of human life. Narad Muni, in the last few verses, is explaining to King Prachini Barishad about the role of the mind in the life of every living entity struggling in this material world. How it is by the desire of the mind that a living entity is forced to act in this world, and because of that a living entity suffers or enjoys the various reactions that come upon him in this world. Yesterday we heard Radha Gopinath Prabhu so wonderfully explain how the desires in the mind, the impressions on the mind, are very forceful and they make a person act, and it is the mind only which can help us to achieve liberation if we surrender the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. In the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Ajamila was on his deathbed and by the Lord's special arrangement and mercy, he chanted the holy name of Narayana just when he was about to die. At that time, three Yamdutas had come to snatch away his subtle body out of his gross body at the time of death. But four other sparkling beautiful personalities also came to protect the soul of Ajamila. They were the four Vishnudutas. They immediately shouted, "Stop, stop! You cannot take Ajamila away from here. We forbade you to do this." So the Yamdutas explained, "Why are you stopping us? Ajamil was so sinful throughout his life that he deserves to suffer in hell, and we are simply the order carriers of Yamaraj, who is the superintendent, the supreme deity, the supreme personality of giving orders of justice to the criminals, the sinful living entities of this world. So why are you stopping us?" So then in a voice rumbling like thunder, the Vishnudutas demanded that if you are the order carriers of the supreme justice, then you should know what is dharma, what is right, what is wrong. So please explain to us what is the fault of Ajamil and what is dharma because of which Ajamil had broken, because of which you are carrying him away from here to the hellish worlds. So then the Yamaduta started explaining that just like if we see springtime in the present situation, we can easily estimate what spring must be in the past and what the spring season will bring in the future. They say, "Vartamanonyayo kalo gunabhigyapako yatha evam janmanayo retad dharma adharma nirdasham." Vartamano anyaya kalaha. By seeing the present time of the season, the different changes in the atmosphere, we can easily guess that when the same season comes in the future, how it will create changes in the atmosphere. And in the past also, when the spring season came, it must have created similar changes. Similarly, evam janmanayor etad, by seeing the happiness, the distress, or the mixed happiness and distress of a living entity in this world, one can easily estimate what kind of religious or irreligious activities this living entity must have performed. Dharma dharma nidarshanam. By seeing his condition now, one can guess that in the past he must have performed some religious activity, because we can see this person is so happy in sattva-guna, situated peacefully. And seeing a person suffering, one can easily estimate that in the past the person must have performed some sinful activity, because of which the person is suffering. In the Bhakti-rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami gives some indication that if a person is sinful in the past life, then in this life, one can see that such a person will have some chronic disease or some legal difficulties or some ugly features or very poverty-stricken condition. So when one is suffering these conditions, one can know that these are because of some past sinful activities that one has performed. Radha Gopinath Prabhu so lucidly, sweetly explained yesterday. If you give a good exam, you will pass. If you don't give a good exam, they may at best keep you in the same year. Sometimes if you give terrible, then they make demote sometimes, put you in the lower class. So similarly, with our other actions also, every moment is an exam. The reactions, the results are going to come. And it depends upon our activities. So by seeing the present, one can know one's past, and one can also predict the future based upon one's mental condition. Like if someone is in ignorance, then Jayadvaita Swami said, it's not very difficult to predict what such a person will do when he goes into a room where there is a bottle of whiskey or beer kept inside. It's not very difficult to predict. With his mental condition, definitely he's going to go inside and drink it. So one can also predict the future. So then in the next verse, the Yamadutas explain that a living entity cannot see all this. He is simply suffering or enjoying or experiencing some mixed happiness or suffering. But Yamraj, because he is as good as the super soul, he can see this, these activities of the living entity, and therefore, noting these sinful activities, Yamraj has ordered us to pull Ajamila back. In that purport, Srila Prabhupada explains what it means by the words Yamraj being as good as the super soul. Yamraj is not an ordinary living entity. He is empowered living entity. He is so close to the super soul that the super soul gives him all the information about all the sinful living entities throughout the entire universe. And therefore, Yamraj can see the past, the present and the future based on one's mental condition, just like the Paramatma can see. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains why the living entity cannot see. Why does he forget what he has done in the past? Why is he not able to see the future? That is because of intense attraction for sense gratification. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma yat indriya priti apranoti. Prabhupada quotes Rishabdev that pramatta, a living entity being mad, intensely intoxicated for sense gratificatory desires, kurute vikarma, performs sinful activity. Why? Yat indriya priti, because of so much affection for the senses, indriya priti apranoti, he does not hesitate to perform sinful activity. Shamelessly attracted to his senses, the living entity continues to perform sinful activity and then achieves one body after another. Na sadhu manye, it's not very good for him. asannapi klesha dash deha. You can see now that I am suffering. Still he continues to perform sinful activities and remains in the cycle of birth and death attached to one's senses. So because the living entity is so much attached to his senses, yet indriya priti apranoti, therefore he cannot see, he becomes blinded by sense gratification as to what is happening to my past, in my past, and what will happen in the future. Prabhupada also explains in the purport that a devotee's condition can also be seen based upon his past and based upon his devotional service. One can predict the future of a devotee by his mental condition or her mental condition. The Shastra is replete with so many examples of personalities whose practice of devotional service in the past has fructified, and even in the present situation it has helped the devotee to again practice devotional service. Shukdev Goswami gives the example of Gajendra, and in the 8th canto he explains how Gajendra was in such an intensely suffering situation, not only because Gajendra was on the point of death while fighting with the crocodile, but because all his hopes were smashed. It's a fact that we suffer in this world, but as long as we have that hope to enjoy, it still keeps a person going on in this world. So much so that it is explained, narakastopi deham vai napumam tyaktum icchati. Even if a person gets a hellish body, narakastopi deham vai, his body is of in the hellish worlds, napumam tyaktum icchati, he doesn't desire to give it up. He still thinks, you know, maybe I can squeeze out some enjoyment from this body. It's not so bad. Some hope is there. Choti si asha, like they say. No? One day we'll become successful. So keep on struggling, struggling, struggling. Try and try. Try hard till you succeed. Maya is making you cry, left and right, beating. But still, the propaganda of this world is that continue to struggle against Maya. And that's how the living entities remain in this world. So Gajendra, his hopes were smashed because he saw that all his friends were there, all his wives were there, his children were there, and all they were doing is simply crying, looking at his pitiable condition. The same personality who was their lord and master, giving them all protection, was now in such a pitiable condition, he was dragged to the point of death. And all hopes of material enjoyment were finished for Gajendra. He had nowhere to look upon, and in that situation, he picked up a lotus flower and he offered it to Lord Narayan. And then he offered so many beautiful prayers. So therefore, Shukadeva Goswami explains, Jajapyam Paramam Japyam Prakchanmanu Shikshitam. He spoke beautiful prayers, Jajapyam Paramam Japyam, beautiful verses glorifying the Lord. But he was an elephant in a body of ignorance. How did he know how to pray to the Lord? Prakchanma anushikshitam. Because he had memorized these verses in the past as King Indradyumna, that devotional service fructified and it helped him whatever he had done in the past. Similarly, we see how in the 3rd canto, Devahuti is explaining that those who are chanting the holy names of the Lord are not ordinary people. They are very special people. So much so that they have performed all austerities and Vedic rituals in the past. Aho batasva pachato gariyan yat jivva agre vartate namatubhyam. Yat jivva agre, at the tip of the tongue, if you find somebody constantly vibrating the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So such a person may be doing a simple activity, carrying a mala, chanting Hare Krishna, he or she is not standing on the head, or sleeping on a bed of coals, or performing some funny types of tapasya, he is chanting Hare Krishna, so simple. But this simple chanting of Hare Krishna is the most sublime method, sublime practice, Because such people have gone through all of the previous lower practices mentioned in the scriptures. Te pustapaste chuhubur shashnurarya brahmanu churnama grinanti yete. Tepu tapaste. Such people have performed tapasya. Tepu tapaste juhur. They have performed all sacrifices. Shashnur. Studied all the Vedas. Tepu tapaste juhur shashnur arya. Arya, all the ritualistic sacrifice ceremonies of becoming second born, that is also done. Brahmanuchur nama grananti. They've already been Brahmanas in their past life. Now they have been qualified to chant the holy names of the Lord. So all the activities of the past life have now fructified because of the association of devotees. They have got the chance to be pious and chant the holy names of the Lord constantly with one's tongue. So, by seeing the mentality of a person, one can know what his past was. Like, you know, even the materialistic people have an idea, a similar idea. Prabhupada said, because Darwin must have seen that the human race is acting much like monkeys nowadays. So he must have guessed that his ancestors must have been monkeys. But our ancestors are not monkeys. Our ancestors are great personalities like Arjuna, Parikshit Maharaj, whom we are studying in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Srimad Bhagavatam, glorifying Krishna. So, by seeing one's past condition, Prabhupada said if somebody was a monkey, he'll come back in the mode of ignorance as a human being. A tiger may come into the mode of passion. A human being in passion may have been a tiger in the past life. Or the cow. Sometimes souls in the cow's body who are in goodness come to human species of life, where they come in the goodness form. So one's past activities affect one's present. And seeing one's present mentality, one can guess what is one's future. Who can see this? Those who are connected to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart. They are awakened. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when Narad Muni is glorifying, when Vyasadeva is glorifying Narad Muni, at that time Vyasadeva says that you are like the sun. You can see everything what is happening from outside, and you can also see like the air from within what is happening in each living entity. Therefore, you being my spiritual master, you please find out what is the problem with me and give me the solution to my problems. In the purport, Prabhupada explains that a devotee is Trikalyagya. Trikalyagya. He knows the past, the present and the future. How? Because he reads the scriptures. Based on the scriptures, a devotee can understand. Okay, at present this is the situation. Therefore, how Kali Yuga is progressing, this will be the future of Kali Yuga. And this has been the past of this particular situation. And Prabhupada compares this to the modern leaders. He says the modern leaders, they don't even know what happened 1 or 2 years back on the same day at the same time. Even 1 week back, they don't know what happened on the same day at the same time. And what to speak of the future? They don't even know what is going to happen in 5 minutes from now. They may even die. So what is the value of such future, such leaders? Prabhupada writes, one should have leaders who are Trikalagya, who know the past, present and future, and who can work for the real welfare of the living entity. So one's devotional service in the past can help a person. Similarly, one's devotional service can also be seen to help him in the future. Therefore, when Arjuna had a great doubt in the Bhagavad Gita, hey Krishna, you are inspiring me to practice devotional service, spiritual life. But what if someone practices spiritual life and is not successful? Then such a person loses everything because he cannot enjoy material life. Sense gratification and Krishna consciousness go ill together. So he has started practicing spiritual life. But even in Krishna consciousness, he has not achieved perfection. What about him? That means he is like a cloud which has come out of another huge cloud to join another big cloud. But because he could not join that cloud, he is just lost nowhere. The big cloud is compared to material life. So the small cloud The Tatastha Jiva, who has taken shelter of the material energy, has now come out and is now trying to approach spiritual life, practice spiritual life. But he finds it so difficult because of past conditionings, he cannot practice spiritual life and achieve perfection. What will happen to him? Krishna says, "Oh, my dear Arjuna, partha naiveha namutra vinashastasya vidyate na amutra." In the future lives, partha naiveha, such a person is never destroyed. Vinashastasya vidyate, it never, any auspicious activity performed, nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata gacchati. For such a person, there is no durgati. Whatever little auspicious activity one performs, tata, my dear child, my dear friend, gacchati, he is never destroyed. So even in the future, if one practices devotional service, one is guaranteed. Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yogo Brashtu Vijayate. Gaurang Prabhu was explaining that bhakti is such a wonderful school that those who pass go back to the kingdom of God, go back to Golok Vrindavan to chant and dance in Lord Chaitanya's movement and then enter Vraja Dham in Goloka. And those who fail, for them also there is a prize. What is that? They are allowed to go to the heavenly planets or they are born in the family of great transcendentalists. Where is the school that gives a certificate or a prize for those who fail? But here is the school of bhakti where even if one performs little bit of devotional service, nahi kalyana krit kaschit. Krishna says kaschit means even little auspicious activity, anything, na durgati. He has no fall down, or that activity is never lost. Even in the future sometime, he will definitely benefit. So, in this verse and in the purport, the law of karma is very strongly being advocated. Whatever happened in our past has bearing in our present. Depending on our mental condition in the present, we will have to reap the results in the future. So the law of karma is a very powerful explanation of the living entity's condition explained in the scripture. Materialistic people, they want to escape from the understanding of the law of karma. They don't want to accept that because I did something in the past, therefore I am suffering in the present. And whatever I am doing now, I'll have to experience suffering or enjoyment in the future. Therefore their philosophy is Rinam Kritva Gritam Pibet Yava Jivet Sukham Jivet. Just enjoy life, hedonistic lifestyle. While you are living, take Rinam Kritva, what is it? Take debts, loans, somehow or the other enjoy. Yava jivet sukham jivet, drinking ghee. The people's level of enjoyment has also become so bad. Nowadays, even pure ghee, people don't enjoy the smell or the taste. It's so unfortunate. Prabhupada was explaining that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati in Burma, when he was cooking puris in ghee, people would come and say, "Stop, stop, we can't tolerate this. This is a horrible smell." And right outside of their building, they would have big, big barrels where they would throw all the rodents, cockroaches, all the small animals. And after a month, they would open that box and have a big feast of all those horrible, nasty smelling substances inside. So, even the levels of the atheistic people in the Vedic times were so high. If you want to enjoy drinking ghee, why? Pasmin bhutasya dehasya, once the body is finished, kim punaragmano bhavet, who has seen what is going to happen in the future? So they want to escape from the law of karma because one experiences guilt when one does sense gratification. So today's modern gurus also advocate, the so-called gurus, that one should not have feel any guilt in the heart. No lamentation. If you think of the past, then the mind will have lamentation. If you think of the future, the mind will have fear. Na shochati, don't lament. Na akankshati, do not expect anything in the future. But they are not on the Brahma Bhuta platform. They are simply Bhuta, becoming dead. Just don't think. Because if you think of the past is so horrible, you will lament. So much misery, suffering. If you think of the future, there is anxiety. Therefore, do not feel guilty. Just try to enjoy the present moment, what is in your hand. Enjoy it to the fullest capacity. But the same philosophy of enjoyment will get them deeper and deeper into fear and guilt. Because they will have to take animal species. An animal species is completely in fear. Simply for the basic survival of eating, sleeping, mating, defending, we see how the animals have to fight. Prabhupada writes in, in Rajvidya, this book, King of Knowledge, that we see, even for eating, how the dogs fight amongst themselves. You throw some food to the pigs, how they fight amongst themselves. Even for sex life, the dogs are whining and biting each other. So much struggle for existence. So by avoiding the law of karma, they want to avoid fear. They want to avoid responsibility. I am not responsible for my actions. And in this way, they want to think that we will enjoy forever. However, the human form of life is meant for responsibility. Therefore, the law of karma has been given to help a living entity to understand that responsibility and choose his actions so that his future will be good. Therefore, we will see three things about karma. Karma, the knowledge of karma makes one peaceful. Karma teaches responsibility, and karma points ultimately to a controller. Even demoniac persons, when they understand the law of karma, they become very peaceful. Like Karna. When Karna, he was cursed by his guru. He lied to his guru that I am a Brahmana, and therefore Parshuram gave him knowledge of the Dhanurvidya. But one day we know how Karna was sitting with Parshuram on his lap, and a bug bit Karna, and Karna tolerated. Full leg became bloody. There was so much blood on the leg. And his guru felt hot blood. He woke up and said, "What is this? You definitely must be a Kshatriya, otherwise you cannot tolerate this pain. It is impossible." And then he cursed that when you need this knowledge the most, at that time, it will not come to your rescue. And then when Karna was going away, he was feeling so bad that my guru cursed me. He was using his knowledge, and unfortunately, he killed a cow. In a forest when he was passing, he thought that it is an animal. He used his bow and arrow, and it was a cow. And again Karna was cursed. That when you need the knowledge most, at that time, you will be mercilessly slaughtered by a person, and you will forget your knowledge of Dhanurvidya. So when Karna was passing, it is explained in the Mahabharata, he started thinking, maybe it is because of my karma. I must have performed some past sinful activity because of which I have been cursed. And he became peaceful and he left from there. Generally people in this world cannot understand why I am suffering in this world. And therefore they become even more miserable. In the book Obstacles to the Path of Devotional Service, as far as facing illness is concerned, Satsvarup Maharaj explains that one time there was a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He was in the hospital, but he was very peaceful. So the other patients used to ask him, "Why are you so peaceful?" He said, "I am suffering because of my own karma. It's natural, because of my karma, my legs have been amputated." And he was very peaceful. He was thanking the Lord, he was chanting the holy names. But many of the other patients, they could not reconcile to the fact that I am suffering so much. What have I done? So much so that they become atheists or agnostics. So when people understand the law of karma, that I am only the cause of my misery, then they become peaceful. Why should I blame anyone? Why should I point fingers at others when I am at fault only? Therefore, the second point is, a devotee becomes responsible when he understands that I am the cause of my own misery, my own fault. We see when Parikshit Maharaj in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is traveling all over the world. He comes to a bull which has been mercilessly butchered and its three legs have been broken, hanging on one leg. Parikshit Maharaj asks, "Who has done this to you? Tell me, I'll immediately kill that person." And the bull says, "It's difficult to find the cause, you know." And he lists 6-7 causes. Maybe it is my karma. Maybe it is some other person, maybe it is Daiva, maybe it is so many things. And then Parikshit Maharaj understands that this black man standing over here, who is Kali personified, has beaten the bull, and still the bull is not ready to say, he is the cause of my suffering. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj pays obeisances. You are Dharma personified. Because you have accepted responsibility for your situation, in such a situation you are not pointing, he is at fault. It's my own fault. And if you can perfectly realize this, you have realized the essence of Dharma. You are Dharma personified yourself. And therefore, Suniti, when she sees Dhruva Maharaj crying in the sixth canto, she says, my dear Dhruva, do not envy Suruchi. What she has spoken is the absolute truth. Go and surrender to Vishnu. He will satisfy all your desires. In fact, if you hate someone or envy someone, then the same envy and hatred comes back to you. Do not, what are the exact words? Do not plan harm for her. Rather accept it. Yes, this is the situation. And now act responsibility to find a solution for that situation. It's your own karma. Maharaj Khatwanga, when he was told, you have just a moment to live, he did not start crying, blaming, mourning, throwing his hands up and wailing that I did so much for you and now you see, I have just a moment to live. No, he took responsibility, fine. If I have one moment, let me come down to the earthly planets. Let me fix my mind on Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj himself is glorified. So much so, that sometimes the sages were asking questions. Why did Parikshit Maharaj allow Kali to exist? When Kali surrendered, he could have killed Kali. He could have finished Kali. He had seen that Kali had broken the legs of the Dharma in the form of the bull. But no, Parikshit Maharaj was not envious. Nanu dveshtim Kalim samrat sarangaiva sarabok kushalyanyashu siddhyanti netarani kritaniyat. Because he was non-envious, he saw that there is a great, wonderful opportunity in this particular person, Kali. And what is that? Kushalyanyashu siddhanti. Even if one thinks of performing auspicious devotional service in Kali Yuga, he gets all the fruits. But for sinful activity, one has to actually perform it to get the reaction. What a benediction. Therefore, he allowed Kali, the same Kali Yuga who was the cause of Parikshit Maharaj's death. This Kali Yuga which had influenced Shringi, the Brahmana, to curse Parikshit Maharaj, was allowed by Parikshit Maharaj to live in his kingdom. Why? Because he was non-envious. He did not blame, oh my lord, why I allowed this Kali to live, now I'll go and kill him. No. It just accepted, it's my fault that because I lost control over my senses and I put the garland on the neck of Shamik Rishi. So now, he even prays, my lord, let me suffer worse because otherwise my family members and descendants will have to suffer for my crime. So he took responsibility, sat at the bank of the Ganga and heard from Shukadeva Goswami the beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are so many examples in the scriptures to show that a devotee accepts his own karma, does not blame anyone or everyone and become more and more miserable. Rather takes responsibility and acts in devotional service. Therefore, Avanti Brahmana, he had so many different places from where he was suffering, but he did not accept any one of them to be the cause of his suffering. Nayam janome sukha dukkha hetu na devatatma griha karma kalaha. Nayam janome sukha dukkha hetu. These people are not the cause of my suffering. What were they doing? Beating him, treating him like an outcast, urinating on him, taking away his danda, throwing all obnoxious things upon him. They are not the cause of my suffering. Nayam janome sukha dukkha hetu na devatatma. It's not the demigods. Griha, karma, kala. It's not the kala, not the karma. Manaparam karanamamananti. It's my uncontrolled mind which is the cause of my suffering. Samsara chakram parivarta yedya. So let me take responsibility that I have not controlled my own mind and therefore I am suffering so much in this world. So what is the action that a devotee takes. In fact, there is one more point before that. Karma also points to a controller. Karma knowledge makes one peaceful. This is the empowering aspect of karma, as Devamrit Swami says. Sometimes one can become hard-hearted also by understanding the knowledge of karma. Oh, these rogues and thieves, because they are eating meat, therefore at 9-11, 3,000 of them died. They were all brought together in a building and blown apart at the WTC. That's a heartless understanding of the law of karma. But the empowering aspect of law of karma, he says, is that it makes one peaceful, not blaming all situations. One takes responsibility for one's life, and karma helps us ultimately to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that there is a controller over there. There are certain religious sects, so-called religious sects, who try to simply create a whole philosophy based on karma, and they say karma itself is eternal. Karma is the cause of this material world. Jaisi karmi, vaisi varni. As you sow, so shall you reap. Why is there need of a supreme controller? Simple common sense says, as you sow, so shall you reap. And vaisi bharni, but who is the one who is giving you the reactions? We can take responsibility for our actions. But still there is somebody over there who is giving us the reactions. Therefore, when Yudhishthir Maharaj was lamenting and feeling sad for his uncle Dhritarashtra, oh, he has gone into the forest, Gandhari has gone into the forest, what will happen to them? Narad Muni said, come on, why are you lamenting for them? Think about yourself. And he gives a very beautiful example. Kala karma gunadino dehomyam panchabhautika. Dehoyam pancha bhautika, this body made up of five elements, is completely controlled by kala, karma and guna. The karma is completely controlling one, and one is thinking, kathamanyam stu gopayet, sarpoyas grasta yathaparam. Just like a snake is catching a frog, just about to pounce upon it to kill it, and that frog is thinking, what a delicious fly, let me shoot out my tongue and enjoy the juicy fly. Just when it shoots out the tongue and it's about to bring the fly into its mouth to enjoy, at that time the snake is biting its poisonous fangs into this frog, and this frog is still thinking, maybe I can just try to squeeze out this enjoyment before I die. Sarpo grasta yatha param. Funny, every living entity in this world is about to die and is thinking, I'll protect this person. But what about you? There is a sword of death hanging on your own head. Therefore, when the law of karma gradually brings a person to understand that there is a control over there on whom I am dependent. Even demons like Hiranyakashipu take shelter of this philosophy to give pacification to his mother-in-law and sister-in-law when Hiranyaksha was killed. Pathichyutam tishtati dishta rakshitam grihe stitam tad vihatam vinashyati. He gives two beautiful examples in this verse. Patichyutam tishtati dishta rakshitam. He says that sometimes in a marketplace you may lose your purse, where everyone can see, hundreds of people are passing every day. But dishta rakshitam, if daiva, destiny protects it, nobody will see it. At the same time, one may be hiding in one's house, very well protected, but still one may die. I'm sorry. He gives the example, one may protect one's money very nicely in one's house where no one can see it, but still someone will come and steal it. So it is not by our control that one can completely control everything. Everyone can see that purse of money, but still no one sees it. Why? Because by destiny it has been protected. Dishta Rakshitam. Similarly, he explains that a saint in the forest is completely at the mercy of the elements in the forest. The earth, the fire, the air. But if Krishna protects him, nobody can kill that saint. Whereas a child, so well protected by the parents in the house, with all comforts, still dies. Because there is destiny in control. So even Hiranyakashipu understands, the destiny is in control. We are not supreme controllers. But because of yat indriya priti apranoti, because of too much affection for sense gratification, they cannot go beyond this understanding and surrender unto that supreme controller. Therefore, to conclude, in the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the four Kumaras give their suggestion to Maharaj Prithu. What should one do? One has understood because of my past, I am experiencing my present. Present activities, I am going to suffer in the future. One has understood the law of karma, which makes one peaceful, which makes one take responsibility of his own life, not blaming everyone else around them, including karma itself, as Avanti Brahmana, and karma slowly helps one ultimately to point to a supreme controller. Gradually there is Daiva in control, and that Daiva is controlled ultimately by Krishna. What is that verse? Karmana Daiva Netrena Jantur Deho Papattaye. So therefore the final instruction of the four Kumaras to Prithu Maharaj is that one should take up to devotional service of the Lord. And when one takes up devotional service of the Lord, it is only then that the cycle of karma can be broken. Therefore, in this verse, Narad Muni is telling, Bhadramte, all good fortune to you. Now give up all mental concoction and fill your mind with devotional service. Because there is simply good activities will not help you to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Give up fruitive activity, Krim Pachini Barishad. Take up a devotional service. Fill your mind with the waves of transcendental service to Krishna. The same thing is repeated by the four Kumaras. They say, Yat pada pankaja palasha vilasha bhaktya karma shayam gratitamud gratayanti santa tadvanna riktamatayo yatayo pirudda shroto ganastamaranam bhajavasudevam. Bhajavasudevam, that is the final instruction. Because shroto gana, there are waves of desires coming in the mind. And Prabhupada explains that as long as one is unable to give up these material desires, one cannot become liberated. Prabhupada explains in the purport, how can one stop the waves of a river? It's impossible. The waves coming in the mind are like the waves of a river. One cannot stop them. But when these waves of the river are coming closer to the ocean, then the waves of the ocean flood the river. And then the waves of the river become insignificant. Similarly, when we flood our mind with activities in devotional service, then that flood of transcendental activity gives so much ecstasy that whatever remaining material desires are there in the heart, creating some waves and disturbances, they will be flooded by the bliss of Krishna consciousness. And in this way, karma shayam gratitam utgrathayanti sarva santaha. All the knots of karma will be finished and one can enjoy at the lotus feet of Krishna. Pada pankaja palas vilasa bhaktya. In this way, Bhadramte, devotees are enjoying at the lotus feet of Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. It's very late now, so we'll stop here. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanandi.